thank you, church, for your labor of love. We have so much help this week. And, you know, you had things going on here at church, things going on at work, and then, of course, things going on at home. A lot of us had special projects, Brother Kevin, and I feel bad for Brother Kevin. He was crawling. What is it, about 18 inches? See, brother? Well, first of all, I couldn't crawl through 18 inches, okay? Yeah, so, yeah, and it's hot. Golly, brother. Yeah, I feel bad for you, but I'm glad that you made it through and came out safely. But, yeah, we've had a lot of projects going on. Some of us have been moving. Some of us had other things going on. I did want to take a second to congratulate Brother Tuck and Miss Cynthia on their housing situation this week. And that's an answer to prayer, so let's praise the Lord for that together. We're so happy for you guys, Miss Cynthia. And of course, I know Brother Tuck will probably catch that message later, but we're so happy, for you guys on that. And that's an answer to prayer. And we had a good week, Brother Will, as far as the food bank, as my understanding. And we got to deliver, what was that day that you all went up to Superior, bro? Was that Thursday? Thursday. And I'm glad the church was able to go and help out a little bit for those that have been affected. They did not have a forklift. You had to go to the old school forklift, the ones, you know, the old grippers. And so... Yeah, so thank you, gentlemen, for going to do that. I just wanted to say thank you, guys, and everybody helped out Vacation Bible School, Chuck, and everybody, Miss Cindy over here, of course, Brother Nancy, Brother Kevin, my family, many, many others that aren't here this morning but were a part of it. Thank you guys so much for everything you do, and even Brother Dana for taking extra time this week, putting it on, you know, the live stream every night. I heard a lot, Brother Dana, from folks saying that they watched it and got a blessing out of it, so that's good, and it's just good spirit, good temperament. I think some of the kids, some of the adults turned into kids during Vacation Bible School, amen. Some of them did. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And then the night always ended off very sweet, didn't it, Brother Kevin, Miss Nancy? It was a very sweet ending every night. And, you know, that was a blessing. But, you know, the other thing, I was kind of talking to Brother Kevin, and this helps us, church, to put it in perspective. He was saying that he got to witness to some family at Circle K and ended up shedding a few tears. And boy, you understand, church, any time that you share the gospel, that is a, you planted a seed, and God is pleased with that. Anytime you hand out a gospel tract, you think, well, nothing came of it, nothing happened. But friend, let me just tell you something. You just don't know. You just don't know what somebody's going to do. You know, maybe they look at that and they're going to, you know, pretend, and they're with some other people. Oh, I'm not going to, you know, I'll just stick it in my pocket. But then later on, you never know. They get into that moment and stuff is falling apart in their life. And they know they need something from God, but they don't know quite what it is. Of course, you and I know that it's salvation. And then they get to reading this, you know, this is just one of our tracks. We've got another set coming. You know, it says How to Get to Heaven from Arizona. Well, that's probably good information for anybody, you know, whether they're traveling, whether you're just seeing them on the fly, and it's an attention grab. And then they read this story of salvation. You just never know. It's a seed that is planted. Maybe, you know, Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watereth, but God giveth the increase. And so you never know. Just keep on planting, keep on watering. And let God give the increase. And I promise you, Lord always blesses those efforts. So what a blessing it was to hear that story Brother Kevin was sharing with us right before Sunday school. Let's go ahead and take a minute, church, and just take some quick prayer requests. And then we will get into the lesson this morning. Who has a quick prayer request they want to share? Chuck? Okay. And can we pray about that other situation you were telling me about? Is that okay to mention that, or... Okay, and Chuck has a EEG coming up, and it's kind of important, and there's some other concerns there. And so would you please pray for Chuck? We were talking a little bit before service. There's just a couple other needs that are there, and we won't get into all of that right now, but the Lord knows what it is, and so that's on my heart this morning. Please remember Chuck in prayer on that. Miss Nancy? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay, so get with me after church, Brother Kevin. Yeah, No, I've got a generator I'm not using. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir, Brother Dana. Yes. For Miss Diana.
Yes.
Please remember Miss Diana, Brother Dana's wife, having a blood issue. Amen. Brother Dana, that reminds me, you know, there was a woman in the Bible with a blood issue 12 years, and Jesus healed that. And God can heal. And so we'll certainly remember Brother Dana. And then Miss Nancy was saying, I know everybody can't hear. I try to always repeat them for those that are on the live stream. But Miss Nancy mentioned they've just had some problems with the AC issues, mechanical issues, and just so many things going on. And this is this is not a good time to be without air. Amen. And so it drains you. Yeah. Yeah. Brother Kevin said he grew up without it. And but just pray for that situation, church. I would appreciate that. If they can get a quick resolution on that. Okay, Connor? Pray for the loss. I appreciate my son when we do our family devotions. Our policy has always been that we do a family devotion on a night that's not a church night or church day. So that means that pretty much every day of the week, unless it's a special week like Vacation Bible School, we'll do a devotion except for Sundays and Wednesdays. But he always mentions the loss. And I appreciate a burden for the loss. Amen. So I appreciate that. Roger? Yes, Miss Melanie's having a couple issues with her feet, some different swelling and blistering, things of that nature. And so please keep her in prayer. I know that she battles with that, and this certainly probably doesn't help her on that. Yes, Miss Nancy. Okay. Yes, she mentioned two unspokens from Miss Nancy, and then Pastor Silcott will be traveling again. I think he's here for a couple of weeks. And he's heading back on the road. So, and we got a big blessing about having him here this week. And it was also challenging. Two nights I wasn't even able to be here. One night we were just moving, trying to make sure that we could have a place to sleep. And then the other night was kind of a special situation. And honestly, I don't feel bad about it, church, because we were helping another family in need, a single mother with no heir and two babies. And it was just a tough situation. And please continue to remember that family in prayer. We want to try to reach back out with her and maybe take my wife and go back and do a follow-up visit with her and try to make sure that she has a good understanding of what the gospel message is and that Jesus loves her, even if she's felt like she's been neglected in other areas of her life. So continue to pray for that. Connor? Bill Howe. Yes, continue to pray for Bill Howe for salvation. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And her husband. My wife mentioned to pray for the Turner family, Turner side. William Turner, my father-in-law, of course, passed away last December. So this is their first Father's Day without their dad. And then also a good friend of ours, just the sweetest lady. You're one of the sweetest ladies you ever meet, Miss Angela Newkirk. She lost her husband and her dad this last year. And so this is, I know it's a tough day for her, and I ask everybody to continue to remember her in prayer. You got a prayer request, Molly? No? Okay. Just stretching. Okay. All right. All right. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the lesson today. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. And Father, we just wanted to take a moment, Lord, and share these prayer requests that are heavy on our heart. And Lord, there's several needs today, God. There's some medical needs, physical needs. We think about Sister Diana. I pray that you watch over her, Lord, with concerning with the blood need. Pray that you be with Chuck, Lord, and we know that an appointment's coming up, battling with his knee. Pray for Miss Melanie, Lord, having some concerns with her feet. Pray that you touch her. God, and several others as well here today. We think about those for salvation. Lord, the loss was mentioned. Those in need to be saved, I pray for them. Lord, pray for some other special needs for, as Miss Nancy mentioned, Lord, trying to get their needs for the AC system, God, resolved. and also mechanical needs there, and Lord, for the unspokens that were mentioned, God, Lord, Brother Silcott be traveling. There's still some that are traveling. We think about Sister Joanne out of town, Miss Melanie out of town, Miss Brittany and her children out of town, several others that are out of town traveling to and fro. We want to lift them up in prayer. And God, we know that there's other requests mentioned today, not intentionally forgotten, but you know what they are. Pray that you meet those needs. Pray that you be with us our Sunday school in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 39. We're going to continue our study here in Genesis chapter 39. And I've got lots of notes to share. And I was telling Brother Dane and the men a little bit this morning that sometimes we get in a chapter or a few portions of Scripture and you think that it's going to be, well, one lesson or one message on it, then it turns out to be more. And so we've been just going through the life of Joseph. I have enjoyed the study. I hope that it's been helping encouragement. We're going to continue to do that. And the topic today, I don't know how long it'll be, 1 or 2 weeks, and we'll just go. And that's a good thing about it is that when we study together, we just go and share with you what the Lord's given us, and then we'll continue with it the next week. So we are excited about that. But here in Genesis chapter 39, and let's go ahead for now. Let's read the first 6 verses just to get us started here, and then we'll continue on as we go along. And who wants to read a couple verses for us here? Who wants to read a couple? I'd like to get everybody involved.
Test.
There we go.
I'll be Mike today.
Okay. All right. Who's going to read the first couple verses? Connor, read verses 1 and 2 for us, chapter 39.
And Joseph brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian.
Okay. Miss Nancy.
And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand.
Amen.
And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a godly person and well-favored.
Amen. All right, so as we continue the life of Joseph, the theme for this particular lesson is tempted and tried. There's a lot of things that we're going to mention regarding Joseph. There's a lot here, and even the next few verses that we'll read later on. But I want to talk about a little bit how, first of all, this morning, number one, Joseph's management. Okay, Joseph's management. And just so you know, as we're going along in our theme, our thoughts are going to be Joseph's management is the first thing that we're going to talk about. And then we're going to look at, let's see here, going along here. We're going to look at Joseph's morality, and then we're going to talk about Joseph's mistreatment. So, again, I don't know that we'll get through all those today, but that's where we're going to go. But as you see here, what I always appreciate about the life of Joseph or the way Joseph handled things is that he just always managed what he had. He dealt with what he had. He worked with what he had. He made the best of every situation is what really I'm trying to emphasize. And, you know, I remember reading one time, I was studying through some things and some of the things that pastors and church leaders endure. And sometimes things happen that you never thought would happen. You get blindsided by situations. And the best thing that you can do, church, is just manage them. Just deal with them, and you don't know what to do. And the best time to deal with the problem is when it occurs. And oftentimes, if we try to avoid it or we try to put it off and just hope that it'll go away. Generally, it doesn't. Most of the time, we have to pray and ask the Lord for help. And He can make things go away, sure. But generally speaking, God expects us to take ownership, take responsibility for situations, and lead people. But that's what Joseph always did, was he always made the best of every situation, as we say there. It says also in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3, he shall be planted by rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay? That is speaking about a blessed man. Everything that he does prospers. Did you notice already on a couple of occasions, we read there in verse 2, regarding Joseph, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a what? The Bible says he was a what? A prosperous man. In verse number 4, or in verse number 3, all that he did to prosper in his hand. In verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight. So we see several occasions where Joseph, who was actually blessed by God, in fact, it says in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. So you think about where he's at. You think about him being sold into slavery. You think about him being essentially brought in to customs, as you will, and he was really brought in as a slave, if you were to put a label on him, if you will, because that's actually what it was. But yet the Bible says the Lord was with him. Say, why does that matter today, Pastor? Because we always think about situations that we're in that are bad, but it says the Lord was with him. I would rather be in a tough situation and the Lord go with me than what I perceive as a good situation and the Lord not go with me. The Lord was with Joseph here. And because of that, everything that he did, as the Bible described in Psalm, prospered. We see here on many occasions, on multiple occasions, that he was a prosperous man. Everything that he did was blessed. Say, how did that happen? Because he made the best out of every situation. Let me just say it again this way. You may not like every circumstance. You may not like every situation that you deal with. But church, let me just encourage you. Make the best out of every situation. And God will bless through that. Amen. Some of the things that we're dealing with this week, I feel bad for Brother Kevin, Ms. Nancy. That's not an ideal situation, but I think that they're making the best out of the situation that you can. I mean, what else do you do? You can't make the AC guy come any faster. You can't just make parts appear out of thin air. You know, they're just making the best out of the situation. But let me say this, church, and I appreciate this. They're still faithful. You know, it would have been easy to say, you know, Pastor, this is really a tough week. We've got some things to do. We can't make vacation Bible school, right? And that would have been understandable, to be honest with you. I would have understood that. But yet they were still able to come and do the work and do everything and appreciate that. They made the best out of the situation. We have to learn to make the best out of every situation. Amen? And so that's what Joseph did. He managed things well. You know, the Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 29, seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men, right? He was diligent, and for the record, Joseph eventually did stand before the king, did he not? We think about another situation. Pastor Silcott used him as one of the stories this week, talking about Daniel. The Bible says that Daniel had an excellent spirit with him. I believe that God prospered Daniel and his work and influence there, those around him. And guess what Daniel did? Daniel also stood before kings. You think about Nehemiah, who got a burden for his people and for the destruction of his countrymen and the walls of Jerusalem. Guess what Nehemiah did? He stood before kings. And so you see, you never know, by making the best out of every situation, and even something that seems hopeless, what that's going to do and what kind of influence and what kind of impact that you can actually have on people. Would it be fair to say that Joseph had a big impact on the nation of Israel? Even despite the fact that his brothers treated him wrong? We talked about that. I mean, they did downright wicked things. But look at how much of an impact, because of his faithfulness, because of his desire to remain true to what the Lord called him to do. Obviously, as we see, the theme verse for our study is God meant it for good. So we see, first of all, Joseph's management. Now, there's a couple things before I move on that I want to share about Joseph. But before I get into further in our notes, let's read a few verses, and then I'd like to share some thoughts. Let's go ahead and read the next few verses. We're going to read down to verse 20 now. And this time, why don't we grab three verses at a time? You still got that mic, Brother Kevin. Let's start in verses 7 through 9. Who wants to do those first three for us? Go ahead, Brother Kevin. You're right there.
And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath commanded all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?"
Okay, who wants to do the next 10 through 12?
And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Goodness, Elijah. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men at the house there with him. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out.
All right. And 13 through 15. Miss Susan's got that. Thank you, Susan.
And when it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, He hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out.
Through 18. Go ahead, Roger.
And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out."
All right. Who wants to get the last couple verses there?
And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison.
When we are managing situations, a lot of times it's what you do, but let me say something that's very important. A lot of times it's what you don't do. So what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, if you're faced with a provoking situation and somebody has said some very ugly things to you, the best thing as a child of God is to not say something back. Now, that's easier said than done, isn't it, Chuck? So, yeah. Somebody's in your face, Brother Kevin, saying ugly things, things that you know aren't true, things that you know aren't right. And it's hard. Look, we're men. we don't like people getting in our face, you know, and saying things. Chuck, yeah, it would bother you too. Will, I mean, any man, Victor, it would bother. It happens, doesn't it? It happens. And it's hard not to respond to that. But let me give you a couple things. Proverbs 15:1 says that a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Okay? Now, that's biblical. Now, I never said it was easy, but I did tell you that it was right, and I did tell you that it was biblical. Okay? That's what God wants us to do. So, we're talking about Joseph managing this situation. We're talking about Joseph managing, but it's not, again, just what you do, but keep in mind, let me emphasize again, sometimes it's what you don't do. It's what you don't do. And there's some things I'm going to mention here here in just a moment that Joseph did not do. But just keep in mind, friend, that a lot of time, another example would be the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when he was being tried, when he was being questioned by an illegal meeting. You know, it wasn't legal. It was done in the middle of the night. Not everybody in the Sanhedrin was there that should have been. So it wasn't done right from the start. But yet they were trying to question him and corner him. And for the most part, he didn't respond. Except for when they asked him again directly, "Are you the Son of God?" And I believe the answer that he gave was, "Thou sayest it." Okay? So, again, keep in mind that it's not always best to respond or to react. In fact, it's always better to act instead of react. By not doing that, what you've shown is character. Okay? And so, that's something to keep in mind when we talk about he wouldn't do. Now, let me mention a couple quick things as we go along, and then we'll move on to our next thought, Lord willing, and I'll do good to maybe just get through these five or six things. Joseph would not betray his trust. He was an authority under Potiphar, an authority under, really, actually, Potiphar's wife, really. Essentially, if Potiphar was the master of the house and she was the master's wife, he would not betray his trust. And so, you know, again, that's something that he did not do. He could have easily done that, but he did not betray his trust. Joseph had integrity about him. The other thing that we see Joseph would not do is he would not compromise his position. We're living in a day today, church, where people are compromising their position. In matters of integrity, but not just in matters of integrity, but even in matters of church, church business, how church is conducted. They're going in different directions. Listen, as long as I keep preaching the Word of God, God help me, I'll keep preaching this old King James Bible. I have no intentions of change. You know, there's some things that should change. There's some things that need to be changed. You know, if we're the same person that we are this time next year, then something's wrong. We always ought to be in a constant place of spiritual growth. But there's some things that ought to not change, and one thing that never changes is the Word of God. Okay? But there's a lot of people that are compromising their position. It's okay to reevaluate things. It's okay to pray about things. But understand that Joseph wasn't willing to compromise his position. The third thing that he didn't want to do was he didn't want to sin against God. Did you notice in the text, it wasn't just a sin against Potiphar's house and Potiphar himself, but he said, "How can I commit this great wickedness against the Lord?" He realized that this was a sin against God. And ultimately, when we fall into sin, that's ultimately who you sin against, okay? Now, sadly, there's always people that are affected by that, and that's obviously true. Sin never just affects you. But he realized, and he got to the place that part of the reason for his integrity in him managing and handling the situations, he didn't want to sin against God. The fourth thing on that is he didn't want to ruin his testimony. He had a reputation. He was well-favored. He found grace in the sight of Potiphar and all those that had served around him. And so always remember that. He wasn't interested in ruining his testimony. Then number five, overstepping his boundaries. You know, he didn't take advantage of a situation here. And again, just another testament to how he managed this situation. And then, of course, six, just some notes that I have here, given into constant temptation. He avoided, he got out of there. Now, let me also say this as we were reading along, I found something kind of interesting as well. After Joseph fled and after Joseph did the right thing, the story was told about him that wasn't true. The story was told that he came in to lie with her, and that's not what Joseph did, Joseph did it all. And in fact, he did the exact opposite, did he not? And did you notice how the story started to change as it went along? Did you notice how the story became, well, he came in to do this thing, and then I screamed, and then when I screamed is when he fled. That wasn't the story at all. That's what was told to Potiphar's wife, but that wasn't the story at all. So what does that mean? You know, sadly, sometimes in our way of managing things, people will say things to you or about you that aren't true. They just won't. But you know what I've come to find out in ministry and serving the Lord is that the truth always comes out. You know, people talk about you. People talk about me. And we don't have time, friend, to sit there and worry about what everybody's saying. You know, I've always had a belief that what somebody says about me, unless they want to come and tell me, is really none of my business. If somebody wants to talk bad about me, if you gossip, then that's fine. Should they do that? Scripturally speaking, no. Am I going to let it sit back and affect me? I can't. I don't have time to worry about what somebody thinks about what I do, my style of preaching, my church, what's going on with my family. I don't have time. The time that I have, I need to sit here and worry about, is God pleased with what I'm doing? Is this what God wants for me and my family? Is this what God wants for our church? Do we do things different in our church and other churches? Sure we do. Sure we do. Is it our responsibility to worry about doing whatever? No, we can't do that. We're Florence Baptist Church. That's one of the beauties of being an independent, autonomous church, is that we answer to the Lord. Amen. We answer to the Lord, and we give an accountability to Him as an independent New Testament church. Okay? But getting back to where I'm saying is that sometimes people are just going to say things. Nehemiah had the same thing. Daniel had the same thing. These men that we've already been talking about this morning, did they not conspire against Daniel? Did they not conspire against Joseph? Now he's being lied about again the second time. But I don't see anywhere where he even came back and said, you know, and tried to accuse her of lying and all that stuff. There's just some things we need to learn to let go and move on. I think that Joseph understood that, and that goes back to one of the things that he did not do. He didn't go back and, you know, cause a conflict, cause an argument with everything going on. I also wanted to mention here, getting back to managing circumstances, managing life. In Matthew chapter 25, the Lord Jesus Christ taught a parable about three servants whom their master entrusted with a sum of money. Remember the parable of the talents, right? Two of the servants were commended because they were diligent with what they had been given, and one was condemned. So two were commended, one was condemned because he did nothing with what he had been given. Do you realize that one of the challenges that we have in ministry is helping to motivate people to do something for God with what God has given them? And oftentimes with the mindset or the perspective is, well, I'm not blessed with the ability to preach, or I'm not blessed with the ability to teach. I'm not blessed to play an instrument. I'm not blessed to sing. You know, I'm not blessed to do this. There's always something that God has given you that you can do. Last night in our devotion, we had dealt with the spiritual gifts. God has given you some spiritual gifts. I believe that. God has given you some spiritual gifts, or different spiritual gifts. You may not have the same spiritual gifts that I do, and I don't have the same spiritual gifts that you do. You probably have some spiritual gifts that the Lord has given you that you're better at than me. You might be better at the gift of mercy. You might be better at the gift of giving. Maybe you have a more generous heart, excuse me, than I do. I don't know what that is. Whatever it is that God has given you, maybe He's given you a talent to do something. Maybe you know how to fix things. Maybe you know how to get things looking good or fix things up. There's a lot of things. Maybe you're good at, you know, we were just talking about this morning with my wife. You know, it'd be good in our situation here, the way our building's laid, it'd be good if somebody was out front greeting somebody at the door, saying, hey, welcome to Florence Baptist Church, making sure that door's coming in and out, because sometimes it sticks and you hear somebody out there and we, you know, that'd be a blessing. That's something anybody can do. Anybody can put a smile on their face and say, welcome to Florence Baptist Church, we're so glad you're here. You see? Anybody has the ability to do that. Everybody can have the ability to put on a smile. I'm just giving you examples, okay? Anybody has the ability to, after every service, to walk around and say, you know what, I'm going to make sure that my church looks good. I don't want to see garbage or leftover water bottles or any whatever the case may be. And I'm going to go around and I'm going to make sure that our sanctuary, because this belongs to the Lord and what we have here represents God, that I'm going to make sure that our place looks nice for the Lord, right? So it's a challenge to sometimes motivate people. And what I've learned is when people are involved in the service and the work of the church, their relationship with the Lord is generally better. See, there's an old expression, a sweet lady in our old church, and I got to say this and find a place to quit. Her name is Michelle Baker, and good friend of ours. She was the deacon's wife, one of the deacon's wife. She always tried to put her children in a position to put some skin in the game, and this is what she meant by that. If she was going to help them, let's say, with a car, okay, and I'm just using this as an example. I don't know if they did this or not. She may help them with a down payment, but then she may want them to come up with 6 months of insurance for the premiums on it. She's not going to pay for it all. She said they had to have some skin in the game. Now, she, as a parent, was willing to help, but she wanted them to have something involved, too. She wanted them to invest their money and their time as well. It's called having some skin in the game, right? You treat things differently. You take care of things differently. How many had to buy your own car on your own with no help? Do you feel differently about that car? That's your car. You bought that car. Now, if you were blessed with somebody helped you with a car, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that's great. Praise God. But what I'm saying is that if you had to go through that and pay for that car and buy your car, pay for your own insurance, put all the fuel in it by yourself, you have a little different feeling about it, don't you? Not that you don't appreciate it. But what I'm saying is that you're like, hey, I'm going to make sure. It's funny, some of the clothes and the shoes that my boys bought with their own money, they tend to really take care of them. Right? Why? Because they've got some skin in the game. You know what we need today? We need a church family with individuals and together as families as well that put some skin in the game and say, you know what? I'm going to invest in the church. Maybe I don't preach. Maybe I don't teach. Maybe I don't sing. Maybe I don't do administrative work. But you're involved. You've got an investment. See, really when I say skin in the game, you've invested. That's really what we're talking about. You've invested in the church. You've invested in the work of God. And it really makes your attitude different, because if you come in, and going back to that example, and you want to make sure things look, you say, hey, that's more personal to me because it's my job to make sure that it looks good. It's my job to make sure that the music sounds good. It's my job to make sure that the live stream is good and the sound's good. Whatever it is, now you have invested in the work of God. So let's go ahead and close with that thought. Have a word of prayer and get ready for our morning service. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for allowing us all to be here in this hour of Sunday school. We pray, Lord, that you would, or ask you, Lord, that you would remember all the requests that were already made mention. And we know that there's some special needs there. Pray for the service at hand. In Jesus' name, amen.